Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Conversations podcast channel. Many investors want to know the possibility of changes to federal income tax policies and what the changes might mean for their personal tax burden. But it's not just the future of tax policy that matters. It's where your income level falls along the income brackets that ultimately matters. Now, on today's conversation, we will spend some time identifying where you can focus your attention so that you can better manage your lifetime tax burden and discuss strategies to help you improve your after-tax wealth potential. So with that, joining me for the conversation today from the UBS Chief Investment Office, glad to welcome back Justin Waring, Senior Total Wealth Strategist for the Americas, as well as Ainsley Carbone, Retirement Strategist for the Americas. Justin, Ainsley, it's nice to be with you both today. Thank you for dropping by and for spending some time with our listeners and their clients. Welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
And up front, I do want to point out to our listeners, especially our clients of UBS, that today's topic will tie right into the latest Modern Retirement Monthly publication from the Chief Investment Office, which can now be located up on ubs.com/CIO. For clients of UBS, simply reach out to your UBS financial advisor if you would like to receive a copy of the Modern Retirement Monthly directly. A lot to cover. Let's dive right into it. Justin, can you begin the conversation by setting the stage about where we currently are with income taxes this year and what changes, if any, might happen to income taxes in the near future?
Yeah, thanks again for having us, Dan. As we stand in tax year 2025, this is a year where we are still benefiting from the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, an act that changed a lot of things, but among those changes were a significant increase in the standard deduction, the abolition of certain personal income deduction types, so most people are claiming the standard deduction, as well as a change to tax brackets, which generally meant that Americans pay a lower federal income tax because of the place that the tax brackets went. And for example, the top tax rate went from 39.6% to 37%. And so in this environment, you know, this is the last year that, based on the law that was passed in 2017, that we'll get to enjoy those tax changes. If Congress doesn't take any action this year, we would end up going back to the tax rates and brackets that existed prior to 2017. And that would generally mean a higher tax burden for most households, although there are some households that had, for example, taken advantage of the state and local tax deductions that were capped under the current law, that number would become uncapped again. And so some households might end up with a lower tax burden, but for most households, this would mean a raise in their tax bill at the end of the year. President Trump would really like to extend these provisions and make, if possible, some of these personal income tax cuts permanent, but it isn't currently clear exactly what Congress can do with such a slim majority in the House of Representatives and a bigger but still thin majority in the Senate, where they would need 60 votes to pass a full law, but they may be able to get by with a budget reconciliation bill if they can get 50 votes. And so we're not exactly sure what an extension of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act would entail. It could be extended for a few years. It could be extended. Some provisions could be extended and not others. And so one of the things that really bottom line is, if taxes are going to continue to be favorable as a result of an extension, then it's still true that down the line, at some point in maybe 10 or 20 years, we're probably going to see higher taxes anyway, because the government has a large deficit and debt problem, and taxes are likely to be part of the solution. And I would say particularly taxes on high income individuals. And so while it may be extended beyond this year, we don't think that those extensions will be permanent just because of the debt problem. And so we may be in a bit of a window of opportunity to take advantage of lower taxes. And that window of opportunity may extend beyond this year, but it's not going to be an infinite window in our view.
So, Ainsley, from hearing Justin, a lot there that could occupy the minds of investors. Why might investors be better off focusing on managing their own income levels rather than trying to focus on what the government will do with tax policy?
Well, tax policy is obviously important and can definitely have a pretty significant impact on your household's tax burden. But tax policy changes are often uncertain and are usually influenced by political and maybe even economic factors. If you try to predict these changes and let your predictions be the driving force behind your strategies, this can lead to speculative planning, which will likely be pretty ineffective. So instead, focusing on managing your own personal income can allow you to be more proactive rather than reactive to those policy changes that you might be concerned about. And this can help make sure that the strategies that you're implementing are going to be able to remain effective regardless of these external factors that are outside of your control. This approach will also just help to give you more control and predictability. For instance, you have more control over your income levels, so this can help implement strategies to manage your tax burden a little bit more effectively than just forecasting what might happen in the future. And controlling your income levels will be able to have much more of an immediate impact. And then lastly, everyone's individual income levels and financial situations vary pretty significantly. So personal tax planning will just help you tailor your strategies to your specific needs, which will ultimately be more effective than relying on those broad policy predictions that you have. So in short, focusing on managing your own income levels will just help you have more control, more predictability, and it'll be more effective because it's tailored to your specific circumstances.
So in the spirit of being proactive, Justin, as Ainsley has suggested, what are some strategies that investors can use to manage their tax burden this year as well as in future years?
Yeah, I want to underscore, first of all, what Ainsley said. You know, we have a lot more control over our tax burden than the government does by changing tax policy at the edges. You know, it's important for us to focus on the things that are within our control. And when I try to think about what strategies investors can use, I like to think about an overarching philosophy, which is, you know, because we are in a marginal income tax system, the more you make, the higher your tax bracket. And so this tells us that if we can shift, if we think about all the income we're going to receive over the course of our lives, if we have opportunities to shift income from high income years to low income years, we can reduce the amount of taxes that we pay and improve our after-tax wealth. And so what are some opportunities to do that? Well, during our working years, we can take advantage of tax deferral to, for example, contribute to traditional IRA and retirement accounts during high income years and contribute to Roth accounts, which are after-tax and will grow tax-free contributions during years where we have a lower income level. So that way we can build assets in both traditional tax-deferred accounts as well as Roth tax-exempt accounts throughout the course of our lives. That gives us more optionality in retirement for managing our taxes as well. During retirement, we can manage how much income tax we recognize by timing the withdrawals and distributions from our retirement accounts. And we can also use partial Roth conversions, for example, to recognize more taxable income in years when we have a lower income tax level. So for example, in early retirement, when we no longer receive our salaries, this is a good time to implement Roth conversions because we tend to be in a very low tax bracket. And this is a good year to put more taxable income into to make sure that you fill up both the lower brackets, which then will alleviate some of the tax burden that you face later in retirement.
So in terms of how to get started, Ainsley, what's a good first step for investors who are considering some of these strategies?
Well, first, I'd say you want to assess your current situation. So this means understanding your current financial situation, including all your sources of income, major expenses, and the types of the assets that you have and the types of accounts that your assets are held in. Going through this process will help you to evaluate the existing tax strategies that you're using so that you can determine the effectiveness of those strategies. And in doing this, we definitely suggest trying to not focus solely on your marginal tax rate. It's also important to make sure that you're familiarizing yourself with your effective tax rate. So when we think of marginal tax rates are useful when looking to implement specific strategies, like completing partial Roth conversions that target specific tax brackets. But your effective tax rate is the average rate at which your income is taxed. So it's calculated by dividing total taxes paid by total income. This rate can help you understand what you actually pay in taxes, and this can just provide a more accurate picture of your overall tax burden compared to the marginal tax rate, which only applies to that last dollar that's earned. So focusing on this rate, the effective tax rate, that can help you to identify opportunities to reduce that overall tax burden, and that can just also help you make more informed decisions. And as always, when it comes to taxes, anything financial planning and taxes, we always want to make sure that you're analyzing everything within your comprehensive financial plan with your financial advisor and also your tax advisor, just to make sure you're checking all the boxes.
Okay, so there's a lot there in the way of considerations to be mindful of. Now, Justin, as we begin to close out today, what are some key takeaways or action items you would recommend for listeners to better manage the tax burden on their assets and integrate some of these strategies into their long-term financial plan?
First step is, if you're in your working years and you're still contributing to your retirement accounts, take a look at our savings waterfall worksheet. This will help you decide which accounts to prioritize for retirement. This will help you make sure that you get dollars into the accounts that are going to give you the most after-tax retirement income. And second of all, you know, build a financial plan with your financial advisor and review that on at least an annual basis to make sure that it reflects the latest changes in your personal situation, as well as to address any action items that you can take around changes to tax law. Prioritizing long-term planning helps you understand which strategies are going to help you improve your lifetime tax burden and boost your after-tax wealth potential. And as Ainsley said, you know, working with your financial advisor and your tax advisor can help you make sure you're not missing any strategies that could be helping you to accomplish more with your wealth.
Well, Justin Ainsley, thank you both for dropping by, spending some time with our listeners and clients, and for providing valuable insight and guidance into this topic, which I know is top of mind for many of those listening in today. So nice to be on with you both, as always.
Thank you, Dan.
Sure, have a nice.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
Neither UBS Financial Services, Inc. nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.